You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Annie Negrin editing here in post, stopping in to say that this episode may be a little dated as it was released on April Fool's of 2020. Discussions may or may not be related to the pandemic, and I would also like to give a trigger warning for brief mentions of drug use. Thanks, enjoy your listen.
So there was this woman, and she was on an airplane, and she's flying to meet her fiancé, but then had to be quarantined for 14 days. Hi, welcome to Music is Good. Today we're talking...
Unexpected!
Oh, okay. Great.
Hi, hello.
Hi, welcome to Music is Good. That's the most direct intro we've ever done.
Good bit.
Yes, welcome to Music is Good. This week we are talking about I'm Wide Awake, It's Morning by Bright Eyes. And I'm joined by my good friend Matt.
Hello.
And our first guest, Bree, from the band Pale North.
Hi. Yes. I'm excited to do this. I've never actually done any sort of podcast before, but I can bullshit and I can talk a lot. So
this is 95% like bullshit, so we're good.
Easy.
Yeah, totally.
Like 90% bullshit, 5% research, some, I don't know.
1% quoting Conor Oberst, the prologue to At the Bottom of Everything.
10% just thinking up bits.
Yes, there you go.
I actually had water come up my nose while I was doing that. I just want everyone to appreciate that.
That's the Conor Oberst way.
It is.
That, like, sip at the start of At the Bottom of Everything is just... Oh, gosh. It does something to me. It's so... It's a visceral sip. Like, he gets, like, water, like, all over his mouth there. It's kind of disgusting.
Does he? Yeah, it does sound like literally just, like, pouring it onto your face. Like, anyway,
My first, like, I always want to listen to I'm Wide Awake, It's Morning at work and, like, with my coworkers and stuff, but every time I put it on, I'm like, I'm just going to skip, like, 40 seconds. I don't want you guys to have to... I don't want... Like, as much as I love the prologue, like, the monologue or whatever, I always get, like, embarrassed having, like, people who've never heard that one before listen to that. Like, when I show somebody I'm Wide Awake, It's Morning, and they're, like, listening to this, they're like, so what is this, like, slam poetry? And I'm like, ugh.
Give it... Wait, give it time.
That's such a mood, though. Like, I'm... Anything that's, like, not pop-sensible, I'm so embarrassed to put on in, like, a work setting or a public setting, even if I know people who are, like, into that kind of music. I'm like, no, it must not break the pop sensibilities. No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I feel that.
It's like even the slightest thing weird, and my like insides just curl into a ball.
Yeah, me too. It's like whenever people are working with me, I always make sure I play like pretty like easy to the digest music, I guess.
You should play Nails.
I should play Nails, like my Animal Crossing character.
Has
made a Nails hoodie.
Is like easy listening change now? Is it like evolved from Kenny G to like?
It's evolved from Kenny G to Beach House.
Beach House, yeah. Is Beach House easy listening? Asking the Dream questions Pop that is the easy people listening. Want to know. What?
Dream Pop is 100% easy listening.
Dream Pop
is... Every time I play something like Beach House at work, it goes over very well.
You heard it here, folks. Music is good. Beach House is easy listening. Dream Pop is easy listening now.
Beach House is new Kenny G? Thinking emoji.
What? Is what?
Beach House is a new adult contemporary.
Adult contemporary artist, Beach House. Yep. I want a Beach House and Kenny G collaboration.
That'd actually be a sick remix.
That'd just be Midnight City. That'd just be Midnight City by M83.
Oh, you're right.
Ooh, I dig that.
but like with clarinet instead.
Yeah, there you go.
Doesn't he play like,
he plays clarinet.
Does he play clarinet?
I thought he played
saxophone.
I thought he played sax. Saxophone, right?
Yeah. Like,
I don't know. I'm a zoomer. So,
I don't remember. I think Kenny G plays clarinet. I could be 100% wrong.
I'm sure
thinking
he's a multi-instrumentalist, but we can, with a quick little... Oh, I think...
Googly.
Didn't Kenny Rogers die yesterday?
Yeah, I was going to say, speaking of Kenny's, we should have a moment where we just press F to respect Kenny Rogers.
Yeah, I'm definitely pressing F right now. Rest in peace, King.
I'll just press it.
In my old jam space for so long, we had the up hanging on the wall, the cover of Here's Kenny. And it was like his face. So
he's everywhere. Omnipresent Kenny Rogers. Rest in peace, King.
Yeah, rest in peace, King. We should probably talk about this album now.
Yeah, I'm Wide Awake, It's Morning by Bright Eyes. By Mac Miller.
Wait, Mac Miller? What? Hold on.
Mac Miller covered Lua.
Oh.
Yeah, I posted it in the chat before this episode.
Oh, I didn't see that because I was trying to get my shit together.
That's okay. It's not very good.
Yeah, it's not really good. Not good. You're not missing much.
Okay, that's okay then. I'm fine with it.
Yeah, there was also some Nightcore versions.
There was a Nightcore version of Lua. Yeah, that was good.
It's just as slow as the normal version, except higher pitch.
I barely noticed the difference.
We'll post a link to this Mac Miller cover in the doobly doo when we release this.
Yeah, so everyone else can suffer too. No offense, Mac Miller.
Yeah. It's really not good.
Sorry, Mac. Love you, man. But
love you, man, but some things just don't need to be done.
You didn't need to do this.
But you know what? I hope it made him feel good doing it.
Yeah, it probably did.
And I think so, too.
I didn't cover Lou. I covered First Day of My Life at my grade 12 talent show. We were going to do Lua, but then last minute we did First Day of My Life, and I kind of forgot the lyrics, so...
Was it just you?
No, it was me and Amit from Pale North also.
Oh,
the guitarist
nice.
And singing friend. Yeah, we did it together, and it kind of didn't do that great. We don't need to think about that anymore. We're past it.
It's okay.
I've definitely witnessed at least 6 different versions of Landlocked Blues in my time in the local music scene.
Really?
Yeah, like...
Good song.
Just so many. Like, I feel like it's, like, required listening for any acoustic artist in Vancouver. Anywhere.
To be fair, in my humble opinion, I'm Wide Awake, It's Morning should be essential listening to every acoustic guitarist ever.
I mean,
That's my take. This is probably my most listened to album of all time.
Is it?
Yeah, no, probably. This or Twin Fantasy, if we combine both versions, probably. Yeah, I listened to this a lot in, like, grade 12 and, like, early or mid-late high school. And even in the past, like, 4 years, I've still just listened to it, like, multiple times a month, probably.
Nice. I'm so glad that you brought this album up because I forgot because I just haven't listened to it in ages. And it reminds me of, like, my, like, just also high school. And driving around, and my friend just, like, blaring, because he was a huge Bright Eyes fan, and we just, like, blare at the bottom of everything, and just, like, and get super stoned and drive around and listen to it. It was in, like, the winter. It was, I don't know, just, it was, like, very warm, nostalgic feelings to me. So
I feel
very
you.
Pleased.
Whenever I think of this album, you always hear people talk about how, like, sad it is, right?
Yeah.
And, like, depressing. Mm-hmm. But I never... ever get that from it. I always get like it always feels super like life affirming and a lot of it's a hopeful album.
I get a lot of like hopeful feelings and like warm like it's good. I don't feel like it's sad at all, but as I was talking about before we started recording is that a lot of people I've talked to refer like won't even listen to this album because it's too much for them to listen to.
Really?
Yeah, they say it's, like, too sad, they can't deal.
Wild.
And, I mean, like, not to shout out or call out Annie, but Annie dropped on this one because it was too sad.
Oh.
So we're down one co-host today, if you're wondering that's why.
Oh, yeah. pay respects to Annie. She's listening.
We love you, Annie.
She's
love
like the angel in the outfield right now. She's like Christopher Lloyd. We're always watching. Start flapping your arms if you think you see an Annie.
and flap.
I like that both. I like that both your mics like triggered. Like there was a slight sound going, and I didn't hear anything. And I know one of you flapped your arms.
I flapped my arms.
I did too. we love you, Annie.
But yeah, there's a weird. Like maybe I'll talk about it later. But there's some kind of. There's only two ways this album goes when you talk about someone, and also everyone who is a millennial slash, I guess, a Zoomer has some kind of nostalgic attachment to this record, mm-hmm. if they're a music person.
Absolutely. It really gives like off that small town lonely vibe, but like it's a vibe that's just kind of a loneliness vibe that's like inherent due to like. It feels like a small town kind of thing, but it also like talks about like unity a lot,
yeah,
and the power of people and like banding together, which is like super cool.
Ooh,
very a lot of songs.
Very topical, actually.
Yeah, without a doubt, absolutely. This album really, I feel like it's timeless in a way, even though it's very heavily of its time. Mm. Like it talks so much about. The political side of the album is always understated, in my opinion.
I didn't really realize it was so political until I started looking into it.
Yeah, but like for me, that part always resonated with me, and it's it sends messages like that kind of have transcended until now, even though they are very of its time, like Bush criticisms and specific pointed criticisms about like stuff going on around that time, and like of course the Iraq War and whatever.
Like Iraq and Afghanistan war and
it's not like that's something that's gone away, so it's still very like important.
No, it's
now.
Just turned into a forever war.
Yeah, exactly.
We need the Avatar to come back.
and the blue guy.
No, not that guy. I'm talking about Aang. You know
James,
what I was talking
James
about.
Cameron. James Cameron,
just,
we need you.
You just did that. No.
I did just do that. Major Bree moment.
No, we need Aang. Okay.
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 That's enough riffing.
Okay.
Yeah, enough riffing. Let's go.
So just a little bit of history about the band. I didn't know, actually, that Connor Oberst played in a band before this called Commander Venus. And I really want to track down some recordings of Commander Venus, because that's a fucking bitchin' band name.
I think it's on Spotify. I think.
Really?
It's, yeah, it's kind of whatever thrashy Midwest emo kind of stuff. His voice is, like, very childish and undeveloped. It's not bad, but it's definitely, like, kids making emo music together.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. That sounds like my jam.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, left that band in 1997, became Bright Eyes immediately, and recorded songs that Connor Oberst has been tagging along with since 1995, and released a collection of songs, which got apparently just absolutely panned. Nobody liked it.
It's not good. Yeah, it's way too long, and most of the songs are just kind of juvenile and whatever, but yeah.
It's like 27 songs, isn't it?
It's whatever.
Oh, this is the 1995 collection of songs or whatever?
1997. I don't know. I think it's like way too many songs.
It's way too many songs, way too long, and none of them are very interesting, so.
It's like, let him get those things out first, and then we can.
Yeah,
there you go.
Just kind of like continued touring, releasing albums up until the release of this one. You know what I didn't know about this album, actually, that's really funny, is that after it was released, Bright Eyes toured with Bruce Springsteen and REM.
Huh? Really?
Yeah, for the Change the Vote tour. Like, they literally played a Rock the Vote tour for this album.
Nice.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. I had no idea about that.
And did backup vocals for the friggin' Boss.
That's awesome. I had no idea about that.
That's kind of cool.
That's dope.
That reminds me of how in At the Bottom of Everything, it has the singer from My Morning Jacket doing harmonies on it.
Wait, really?
Which I didn't know. Yeah, that's whatever his name is. Something.
Sorry if you're out there. We'll remember your name one day.
Yeah, you're
by
good
my
band.
Morning.
Just
good band.
Just shout outs.
Shoutouts.
Yeah, literally played a Rock the Vote tour, and then this album came out. There was really not a lot of history. It's just like, yep, was in a band, then wasn't in a band, released a bunch of music.
Yeah, he's just been always consistently doing music since he was a kid. Like, under his own title, or his own name, he released, like, an album when he was, like, 13.
Good for
you. Damn. Good for you, man. That shit sucks, but good for you.
Like, it makes sense why Bright Eyes is, like, so well-known.
Yeah, no, absolutely. He's had, like, a whole history and so much music and stuff.
Yeah, just... if you tour with the boss, then everyone's gonna know you.
Yeah, that's true. One thing that's always weird to me is that it was released with, a sister album, and I always forget. Mm-hmm. Like, an album that came out the same day by them.
Yeah.
Digital Ash. And it's just... Nobody talks about it.
Digital Ash is actually my favorite Bright Eyes album, and I will die on this hill.
Holy moly.
Yeah, I've listened to it way more than I've actually listened to I'm Wide Awake, and I didn't know they came out together. I literally didn't know that.
Yeah, they were released like as sister albums or whatever, and apparently when he was touring for it, they did like dates where he would only play Digital Ash shows, and then there were days where he'd only play like I'm Wide Awake shows, which is
What I was just about to talk about. They split the tour in half, where the first half was about I'm Wide Awake and the second half was about Digital Ash, and they did like a complete like band swap out mid tour, which is just insane.
Yeah. It's really neat. It's ambitious, very ambitious, but like all of the attention towards either of the albums just mostly goes to I'm Wide Awake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, for good reason. Like, anytime I've brought up that I like Digital Ash more, I usually am met with someone being like, what the hell's wrong with you?
So.
Well, then you just know who you're dealing with when they're going to judge you on your own preferences.
True.
It's bringing the truth bomb out.
Truth bomb, that was really nice.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'll just go back to my quarter.
There's also one B-side that wasn't actually on the record, but it released around the same time and was performed on what's that show? The Jay Leno show called When the President Talks to God.
Yes.
Yeah. And, that's a song. All right. Fuck.
They released it as a 7-inch and it sold out at their first show after the performance. I haven't heard that song, really? But it's just more time capsule of the time.
It's really kind of a, let's just say it's like a dated song. It's definitely the if it were on the album, it would absolutely without a doubt be my least favorite. I think it's one of his worst songs from this time period, in my opinion. It's I don't know why. It's always kind of rubbed me the wrong way.
I read a review saying that it was super heavy-handed and just not the most mature.
I think he just wanted to get it off his chest. He didn't want to put it on, like, a conceptual album like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it might have, like, colored the album differently if he had included it.
Yeah.
Because it's pretty, like, it's a very political statement, and I just don't think that was kind of what he wanted to do for...
Maybe. I mean, the album itself is very political, if you read the lyrics.
Yeah.
But I think to, like...
It's more subtle.
Yeah. This is just like such an outright non-subtle, like screaming into a megaphone in someone's face that like...
Yeah.
It would probably have ruined the album, actually.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's more in like the Talking Blues kind of style. It like would not fit at all.
No. It kind of reminded me of like Bob Dylan from like the 60s.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like...
100%.
Also... Do any of you know how Emmylou Harris and Connor Oberst got linked up? Because love me some Emmylou. Yeah.
I love Emmylou Harris. She's and wonderful. I remember... She's wonderful. Yeah. I remember listening to... What song was she on? Yeah, We Are Nowhere and It's Now. When I first heard
that. She's on Landlocked Blues as well.
Landlocked Blues as well, yes. And she has, I think, another appearance. She's on another traveling song, I'm pretty sure.
Mm.
But yeah, I don't know where that collaboration came from, but it does wonders.
I read somewhere honestly. That they were like comparing. They were like, well, if you're gonna get comparisons to Graham Parsons, you might as well just go for it and get Emmylou Harris on there. And I'm like, I don't know who the hell thinks that Connor Oberst is that Graham Parsons guy. But like, can somebody explain how this happened? And like, apparently Connor was just like, yeah, like I. Just kind of.
Got I like her that you kind of went into sing. Bob Dylan voice there for a second.
I just kind of got Emmylou to come on. I know that it is freezing, but we really have to walk. I keep waving at the taxis, they keep turning their lights off.
That's a really, really good impression.
It's very
That's
good.
A really good
I've
impression.
I've been waiting for the time to do this.
To unleash the Bobby, yeah. Bobby D.
Bless it, man. Anyway, but yeah, I don't understand. He's a, yeah. Apparently, he said that he just needed someone who could sing pretty. I'm like, no. She's iconic. Like,
she truly is.
She really is.
If I heard Connor Oberst say that, I'm like, you humble.
No, yeah, that's
it was just a really like professional arrangement that they have, and I was just like, what? There's like, you guys were, how did, was this one of those kind of like famous people things where he got his manager to call her agent manager person, and then they synced it up, and then she came by and was like, sure, I'll sing on your album.
I like to believe it's just two cute little friends just making some folk together. That's what I like to believe.
I think I like that better.
Although,
I mean, she feels so at home on the album.
Yeah, yeah, she does.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, those songs would not be as good without those vocals.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Mm.
So good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I stan.
I stan.
I hear that voice and my heart flutters. It was the first album to feature permanent member Nate Wilcott.
Mm. Go, Nate.
And,
God bless Nate.
I don't know anything about Nate, but...
Go, Nate. Nate's listening to this episode and goes, yeah, I met you! And then, I don't know anything about Nate. No.
He just plays trumpet on the album, that's it.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, he's a trumpet guy.
Okay, Nate.
Love a trumpet guy.
Love an aid.
I love trumpet guy.
Love trumpet love guy. Nate.
I'm gonna go on a tangent for a second. I have wanted a trumpet in all of my projects forever.
I can learn it.
That's like, I think trumpet would be good on anything.
Really? Anything?
Yes. Anything. It makes everything better. Anything. I love trumpet. Brie, add a trumpet to Pale North. It would fit perfectly.
Where would a trumpet fit in Pale North?
I don't know. Just
I've thought of that before.
Just mix it in the background.
Mix a trumpet in the background. Okay, question. What's the farthest you can get in the intro to the bottom of everything?
What?
I can do the whole thing. I actually like it a lot.
Do you know the whole thing? Like, no, do you know the whole, like, I'm saying, like, do you, how much do you have memorized? Like,
I have
off of
most of it memorized.
I've got, like, the whole thing, like, ingrained into my brain. I've listened to it so fucking much.
Are we gonna do like a contest here of who can like who can say the most of it?
I mean,
a time.
If you want.
So there's
let's see that at the end.
Okay, we'll
do send off.
Yeah. It was met with widespread acclaim. It's number 50 on Rolling Stone's top 100 albums of the decade, and it's on. I wrote that wrong. It's top 50 albums of 2005, and it's number 31 on NME's top 100 greatest albums of the early 2000s.
Mm.
Which is well deserved, honestly. This album's kind of perfect, if you ask me.
It's kind of perfect. I agree.
Kind of perfect.
No big deal, but you're perfect.
I couldn't imagine hearing it during when it came out. I would have, like, I don't know, when I heard it in, like, 2015 or 14, it felt like so like, wow, this is like the perfect music for this time. It's like, this feels like it encapsulates everything I'm feeling and the world around me, and it's like 2005, like what the hell would this have sounded like then? It's not like it's ahead of its time, like musically or anything, of course.
It's really just a folk album.
it's a contemporary, just normal folk album, but it's like, it just rises above that so high.
On some places, it's listed as alternative country.
Alternative country. I mean, yeah, We Are Nowhere and It's Now is country-like.
Yeah, I guess so.
Another traveling song. It's like got like a little it's country rock.
Another traveling song. Traveling
song. Song bangs.
Guess you call that in a cage. It's that train beat, man.
Every episode we have like an ASMR break for something. Every time.
Oh. Did we do that with our last episode? With
yes.
Was it we? Oh yeah, we were trying to make everything sound like it was underwater.
Yeah. So, shall we start talking music?
Let's talk that music.
Oh yeah, music.
Baby.
All right. So the first song we're talking about is "At the Bottom of Everything," which is the one we keep trying to do the intro about.
That's iconic.
To be honest, this is tied with "Landlocked Blues" as one of my favorite songs on this record. Mm-hmm. And like I think I actually love the intro. I like the whole story. It's very, very good. Jim James of My Morning Jacket. I just remembered it.
There you go.
There we go. And Jim James is backup vocals in this song. It's basically a song. It's like a narrative of like being on an airplane and then it's gonna crash. That's the song.
It's true.
That's that song.
That's that song.
But
I love how he comes back like in the second verse and then like starts talking about like describing what's happening in the plane and stuff. That part's so cool to me.
And they crash into the deep blue sea.
Deep blue sea.
Such a wonderful splash.
Wonderful splash. And I'm like, oh. It's so nice. It's so beautiful.
Yeah. Can you find a Nightcore version of At the Bottom of Everything?
I guarantee I can. Quick, one of you take the reign and talk about how you feel about the song. I gotta get my phone and find this.
I'm Googling. Don't worry. Okay. Got it.
Case.
Go.
They've already got it. We're good. Honestly, I remember hearing that intro for the first time because I didn't like the album at first. First listen, I was like, this sucks. And I listened to the intro and I went in cynically because I've heard like, oh, it's this emo folk. And then I listened to it, and then I'm like, man, I'm going to hate this. And then I was just sour for the next 40 minutes. But, like, after, like, many more listens and actually, like, reading the lyrics, I was like, all right, this isn't just generic folk music that I can write off. I really love it.
No. There's something about that. I don't know. My favorite line from At the Bottom of Everything is, well, I mean, the whole thing is just, I think, really good. But, I mean, that's just such an understated way of putting it. But, death will give us back to God. Like,
it's so hard. You don't expect that kind of, like, thing in, like, a folk song like this. And that's what really makes Bright Eyes work for me, is the juxtaposition of like really emotional and visceral lyrics with like folk instrumentation. It's so like nothing that you really hear. That whole part is so good.
Yeah, he says death will give us back to God just like the setting sun. It's return to the lone
also like those chords and like the beat is just so good. It goes from like that going from that spoken word just right into the like, it's just so.
It's got such percussive rhythm. Like, it doesn't have any percussion in the song, but it's super driving and it feels beat driven, even though there's no beat. No.
Is there?
There's no percussion. It's just acoustic guitars and stuff, but it feels so. I don't know. Maybe it's like how. What's the word? I guess organic the instrumentation is. It feels like more percussive and plucky, I guess. I don't know.
It's just got that.
Like,
yeah, it feels like there's a train beat, basically. Honestly. Gotta love a train beat.
Yeah.
Love a train beat.
It's good. You know who else loves a train beat?
Bruce Springsteen.
Bruce Springsteen.
The boss. The boss himself.
The boss himself.
Bring it back to the boss. Okay. Sorry.
We'll get to the boss one day, I'm sure.
I'm sure. I'd like to bring out, like, talk about how Born in the USA is actually a social commentary instead of a celebration. But we, I mean, that's just
none of y'all are ready for that conversation yet.
No one's ready for that conversation.
The other part of this song that I find really interesting is that it is very political, but it's very smart about how it's political, because a lot of the lyrics actually are from the perspective of the woman who's on the plane and doesn't know what's going on. It's supposed to be written about, like, being disconnected from the world around you. Like, she doesn't realize the plane's going down. Kind of like how some people just don't pay attention to politics and they don't pay attention to what's going on around them. Like, the plane is nosediving, but they... Yeah, that's my deep analysis
right
there.
I like how, like, at the end of the song, it feels... Well, like, all the city buses swimming past and stuff, it's like everybody hits the bottom, everybody's at the bottom of everything. It's like, I like that, like, tying it all together kind of thing.
It's a good conclusion.
I'm not really sure how to, like, analyze, like, what the bottom, like, represents, I guess. Like, when the plane gets to the bottom, what's at the bottom of everything, and then we'll see it. Like, I don't really... We'll see it. I don't really know, what do you guys think that, like, they're plunging deeper and deeper? What are they plunging deeper and deeper into? To, like, are they plunging deeper and deeper into, like, desensitization? Or, like, I don't know.
I think that's the end of the song, after the city bus is going past, the lyrics are, "I'm happy just because I found out I am really no one."
Exactly.
Yeah, that's so zen.
So zen. Just, hey, we're all just vibing, you know?
We're all just...
This lady on the plane, really, she's, like, just vibing.
She's just vibing.
She just experienced ego death. Like,
really, the plane going down was a vibe check and she passed.
She passed the vibe check so hard.
I love that you turn away from the microphone to laugh really hard and it's, like, audible.
I turn away from the microphone to breathe.
Yeah. Well, I try not to, like, blow. I should probably put a limiter on this, actually, and just do that.
Maybe not in the middle of recording, just next time.
I'm just using my gaming headset.
Gamer moment.
I haven't taken this off because I was playing COD right before him.
Well, I wonder.
We're all gamers here.
We be gaming. I mean, what else is there to do? Listen to Bright Eyes?
We be gaming. Yeah,
we're in the apocalypse.
I love this album. I just want to say that before we continue dissecting it.
Yeah, me too. It's definitely Pale North's. It's definitely Pale North's biggest influence, even though, like, we don't sound anything like it.
I could hear it though.
Yeah.
Now that you mentioned that, I'm like, I could see. I could put the strings together and, like, tie it all back.
The earnestness.
The earnestness. You know me. I'm earnest.
Earnest.
So earnest. So earnest it hurts.
So earnest.
That's me, though. Not you.
Oh.
We love you.
What if Devlin's name was really Ernest?
God.
What makes you think?
I would ask...
Is that your middle name?
If...
Do you have...
Wait.
I don't want to put you on blast like this on the podcast. I'm sorry.
No.
It's like no boundaries. Brain just going a million miles.
Don't dox Devlin, no.
I don't, God.
It's not like I don't say my first and last name at the beginning and end of this podcast.
Fair.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. I use my name, like, everywhere, but it's like, can't dox me. It's not my legal name, so get fucked.
I don't know anyone who would want to dox me. I feel like they're just like, this guy's already kind of... So what's the next song?
Lua, isn't it?
Lua, yes, Lua. I don't know the song the most, but this was, like, one of the singles off this record.
This is, like, the big song. This, well, I mean, First Day of My Life is the biggest song, but this is also a big song.
Big song moment.
I hear it in Starbucks a lot. It was in Life is Strange.
I need to play that game.
That's something. Yeah, I've never played it, but I just know it was in Life is Strange.
But you just confirmed that Bright Eyes is coffee shop core.
It is coffee shop core. I mean, Bright Eyes is coffee shop core. Like, let's be honest.
It's true.
It's the best it's coffee shop true. Core. Yeah.
It plays in, like, those non-chain little corner stores in, like, the bougie part of town.
Yeah, exactly.
And then Bright Eyes is playing?
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. And there's, like, a barista with a large beard.
And they just
or no beard.
And then they just, no, they got a large beard. They got a large beard.
A large beard and their toque is on their head, really small.
Really small.
Really small.
I love the fact that Connor Oberst knows that when a taxi's lights are off, it means they're not going to pick you up, because I hate it when I'm in a cab and I know that the lights are off and somebody gets upset of their for no reason. And they're like, why didn't you pick me up? And I'm like, clearly, the lights are off. You wait and yell and wave at a taxi whose lights are on. Connor knows this.
Connor knows taxi etiquette.
Taxi etiquette, Connor knows.
The damn millennials don't know that anymore because we're all using fucking Uber.
I've seen a lot of people older than millennials get
upset.
No,
I know. You know what? It's important to know taxi etiquette because I didn't know the light thing until 2 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
I never took taxis until like I was like 25. I was too afraid to because I didn't understand how they worked.
Connor taught you.
I was like really concerned that like my card would like decline and then I wouldn't be able to get out of the car and I wouldn't know what to do and I'd probably break down and cry.
They lock the doors
so
and drive into the river.
You're going to earn your wage. You'll have to earn your trip, young one.
They just make you drive for them.
Yeah, they just turn you into a taxi driver. That's how they
get. Yeah, but if they did that, have you ever played the game Crazy Taxi? I can't drive.
I don't think...
They got no brakes.
I've remember
offspring in that game. Banger.
Oh, God.
Lua.
Oh.
We're talking about Lua.
Sounds like he's playing on a ukulele. Doesn't even sound like a guitar. I don't even. That's always what I've thought.
It also sounds like he's literally going to cry.
It does.
Yes.
It does sound like he's literally
time.
Going
to cry. And it's not fake. It doesn't feel fake.
No, my man's sad.
I was looking at Genius and the number one comment, just bringing it back to my usual bit on this podcast. Number one comment by James McCartney. Mac Miller's cover is amazing for this song.
No, it isn't James McCartney.
Hey, listen, Mac Miller, I love you. Your new album, it's great. You've got a lot of great music. That Lua cover, it's not very good.
Well, Mac Miller passed away, so.
King. Rip. Love him.
Rip King.
Rip too,
Mac
King.
Miller and Kenny G. No, not Kenny G.
Kenny Rogers.
Kenny Rogers. Oh.
Don't curse Kenny G like this.
What's
Kenny G's gonna live forever?
I'm like, oh, Kenny G will live forever. Also, another T-shirt idea. We should write these down. Napster
subscribe
lives.
Subscribe to our Patreon.
Kenny
we'll give
G
you a shirt.
Will live forever. Oh, I'm putting them in my phone right now.
Yeah, this song is just kind of about like being in a life that's riddled with substance abuse and like being lonely and high, like feeling rejected from air quotes high society. And
it's just it's definitely the most like miserable song of the album, I think.
Yeah, it's it is the saddest one in my opinion as well.
Yeah, definitely.
I wonder if this is where everyone like gets really sad and says they can't do it.
Perhaps, because it's like the other big single, First Day of My Life, is very happy. That's a very happy song. Very optimistic, positive song. The other big single, Lua, is just like, yeah, if I heard the song, and I don't know if I would be able to take 40 minutes of this strip back, like, folk this miserable. Just sad.
Song description, just absolutely miserable.
It's fucking miserable. It's miserable. And it's, I don't know, it really... every time I've ever gone to a party... This is like how I think. I just think of this song the entire time.
Oh,
it's a it's
whenever you what?
Whenever I go to like a party or something, because it just it's just a I don't know. It's a lot of it is like, of course, about like a miserable like nights out and stuff like that, and whatever. And it's just so riddled with like loneliness and substance abuse, and it's like Jesus. It's so bleak. It's like I don't even know what to say about it. But
it makes that experience
because when you read it and you look at the lyrics objectively, it's like this couple that are kind of like a little bit just like maybe slightly spiraling but like unaware of it, and romance is that like cold connection at night, you know, that cold like circumstantial connection. Like we're both abusing drugs or whatever and drinking a lot, and we know what this is, and we're just gonna allow ourselves to feel like this is something cute and magical, and that's how the song sounds. But when you read it, it's like, no, this is like a really real portrayal. I think.
Yeah. I don't know. It's not just romanticization. It's the characters are romanticizing it. But I don't think Connor is.
It's like the music romanticizes the characters of the song. Like the melody and everything kind of romanticizes it.
Yeah, that's. Yeah, I can agree to that.
It's almost like playing on that old trope of being like being in love with the idea of being in love, even though your situation is absolutely unhealthy and you shouldn't be there.
I agree. Yeah. I agree.
Don't put me on blast. Don't dox me, Devlin. Don't dox
me. Matt. I'm just attacking you today. This song was also in Life is Strange, which is a great game and you should play it.
I haven't played it.
But
this song is a bummer. I'm like trying to like make up tangents just so we don't have to talk about how sad it is.
About Lua?
Yeah, Lua.
Okay. I don't know why. I enjoy it. I think it's like it's real. Like, I don't know. Hearing his voice almost crack, and then hear him say like, "Well, it takes one to know one, kid. I think you've got it bad."
Oh fuck,
like,
yeah, that's a that's a good one.
Like, I'm like, ugh. Yeah, been there. It's like you can just like when you know, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm. You got to be in the know to know.
So you got to be in the know to know.
Every verse in this song ends on a really heavy line.
Yeah.
Like every single one. The first one, supply their endless in the evening. By the morning, they'll be gone. The second one, the mask I polish in the evening. By the morning, looks like the third one, which in it's like the love I sell you in the evening by the morning won't exist.
Yeah, that one's like.
But what's so easy in the evening? By the morning, it's such a drag. What was normal in the evening by the morning seems insane.
Yeah.
And then, it, like, the last one, it was simple in the moonlight. Now it's so complicated.
Yeah.
I know you have a heavy heart. I can feel it when you kiss.
No, I totally, the idea that, back to, like, the romanticizing of it, it's feels like the characters are, like, kind of just blissful or just fine with their existence as it is, but the last line of every stanza really hammers home the fact that it's like this is temporary and it's gonna just get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse as like the characters keep indulging in like drugs, alcohol, etc., etc., that they're talking about and stuff. And it's clear, like, and I know you have a heavy heart, I can feel it when we kiss, etc., etc. It's just obviously they're like not even actually properly in a healthy relationship in the slightest, even without the drugs or alcohol and everything.
Yeah
it's like a relationship that's like doomed to fail. It's so bleak.
They both know what it is.
Okay, I sorry? Get it now.
They just want a drug buddy.
Yeah, there you go.
They know what this is.
That's completely all, completely unrelated tangent, but I've been looking at a picture of Connor Oberst this entire time, and can I just say how handsome he was?
He's a handsome, nice little boy.
He's so pretty.
He's a pretty dude. I miss like his eyeliner days. Those are the good times.
It's very good.
That's he looked really good with eyeliner.
Have you seen him now?
He just looks like a dad. He wears like Hawaiian t-shirts, and he just kind of vibes.
dad eyes.
Him and Phoebe Bridgers are like best friends, and that's so cute to me.
I love that. I love that too.
Yeah.
Also, I stan her.
Oh, very much so.
Big time.
Stranger in the Alps is an amazing album. That's a Slade, Pale North Spaces, favorite album ever.
It's so good. Understandable.
I'd say my most listened to album, I think.
Ever?
Of like 20, was it? No, God, no.
2017. Yeah.
But still, like, I think it was like when I heard it in end of 2018, it was my most listened album all of 2019. And I can still just like put it on and never get bored of it. I love it. Oh my God, I love it. And then Better Bolivian Community Church. No,
Center.
Not,
Center.
No, Matt, that's
got it
right.
It's Better
Center.
Morrowind Community Center.
Okay, sorry, my bad.
Actually, it's Better Skyrim.
There.
Excuse me.
Better Fallout 76 Community Center. Sorry, a non-joke.
It's okay. Also really wonderful.
Yeah,
it was really great to hear them sing together.
Yeah, absolutely. Their voices work really well together.
Yeah.
They're
both fantastic songwriters.
True.
Fantastic. She's such a good. Oh, I've been wanting to. I want an episode with Phoebe on it.
We could do it.
Yeah.
Or,
guest.
Well, I mean, that's going to be a lot harder. I thought you were just talking about doing the record. But.
Well, she... Oh, yeah, no, we can do the record, but she could come on after we have Nardware on.
Just bold claims. Just very bold claims.
every episode...
You're giving me so much work here. I'm going to have to email some kind of agent or some and actually get together for an episode and sound mildly professional.
It's funny, my imagination just flies, and then suddenly I'm like, and then like I wake up one day and it's like, hi, okay, so we're doing this episode with Nardwar, and I'm like, no, that, probably not.
I can work on it.
But it would be wonderful. I don't think I'd be able to speak if I was like doing an episode with Phoebe Bridgers. I'd be like, I just want to hear you talk. What are your thoughts?
What are your thoughts, Phoebe?
How do you feel, Phoebe?
Foeb.
How do you feel if it's Foeb?
Can I call you Foeb?
Hello, Foeb.
Foeb.
Foeb. Phoebe, or can I call you Foeb?
Hello, Miss Bridge.
Miss Bridge?
Miss Bridge.
I laugh anytime someone like uses like such formal talk with anyone. It's just so ridiculous.
Mademoiselle Bridge. Okay, do we have anything else to say about Lua? I think we've exhausted.
Yeah, I feel pretty. Lua's sad.
Every time
it's
we,
good though.
It's
Lua's sad.
We can leave it at it's sad and good. We can leave it at good song.
What was the quote from two episodes ago where it's like, feels sad, but it's good.
But it's good, yeah. Yeah, that was on what was it? Pornography. Yeah.
Pornography is sad and good.
Yeah, it is. Great album, but it's also very good. Powerful, but we're not talking about that here. What was the next song?
Landlocked Blues,
Landlocked Blues.
In my Landlocked Blues. Yes. Okay.
This is the only song that I will say I do have a nostalgic attachment to with.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly
why
because every time I've been in a bad breakup, for some reason I always go and listen to this song.
Oh, fair. Yeah,
the whole,
I'm
like,
right away.
You walk away, I walk away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a super very good. With both of the breakups I've had in my life, both times I listened to I'm Wide Awake It's Morning, like, so much, and I associate it with both of the breakups, because it's like, I listen to it so much, but I also just associate it with, like, every waking moment, so it's fine, but...
This is just your life in album form.
It's my life in album form, yeah.
Hilarious that we're talking about breakups on this record, because I think that's the majority of why people attach this sad narrative to it.
Yeah, that's fair.
And
that's fair.
A friend of mine earlier today, when I was talking about this record, said if you made the comment that if you make a song by Bright Eyes, like, associated with your relationship, do you doom that relationship to fail?
Pretty much.
Just because, like, it's so common that someone's like, oh, Bright Eyes was our song.
Yeah, that's actually very true. I'm lucky my partner does not like Bright Eyes.
That's a rarity. I don't hear that very often.
Yeah.
Rarities and B-sides. I woke up with this song in my head this morning, actually. Specifically the line and the sidewalk holds diamonds like a jewelry store case.
Oh, that's such
and
a good one.
I woke up with that specific line in my head this morning, and I was like, oh, that's right, we're doing the podcast. Thanks, brain. But, well, I also woke up at 3 p.m., so it was kind of...
Yeah, I woke up super late.
I was also
kind of
scared.
I woke up real, like, not good.
I feel I've been waking up at 7 a.m. every day since quarantine came into effect.
Oh, my God.
What are you?
I've been staying up until like 3 playing video games with people and then going to bed and then doing that every day. It's been great.
I've been just at war with myself the last week. Just trying to keep it together than like not and then going like, oh, no.
This album's bringing out the earnesty in all of us. Now we're just like...
It's true. Now we're just all earnest. Thanks, Connor.
It's like
Connor Ernest.
Connor Ernest Oberst. Try to say that.
Connor Ernest Oberst.
You heard it here,
Connor
folks.
Ernest
That's a new
Obert.
Tongue twist.
Connor Ernest
tongue
twist. Obert.
Oberst. It's a tongue twister, guys.
Try it at home. Send me your videos. Ha ha.
Yeah, it's the Ernest challenge. # Connor Ernest Oberst challenge.
I'm gonna name my child Connor Ernest.
Yeah, combine both names to one long name like
Emmylou.
I just love that name.
Shout out to Emmylou on the song. Give... Like holy.
Oh yeah.
Goddamn.
So good.
She's wonderful. She just her presence is just shining and like. She just glows.
She has like such a mom energy on like every song. She always is like
it's
so
true.
Comforting, you know? It feels like I don't know. Like Connor feels like he's so like hard on his sleeve, just like spilling his guts, and then Emmy's just like yeah, I support you, buddy.
Like, yeah. I got you. Don't worry about this.
You're
you just
okay.
You do what you need to do and I'm right here, okay?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. That's how I feel.
There's not many songs that, like, are so beautiful, make me cry. But this song, time and time again, has made me cry just from, like, how actually beautiful it is.
Yeah.
Just real earnest hour right now.
My favorite little part of this song is definitely the, one of my favorite parts. It's the one that, like, I remember the most. It's, and this kid's playing guns in the street, and one's pointing his tree branch at me. So I put my hands up, I say, enough is enough. If you walk away, I'll walk away. And he shot me dead. That part...
And he shot me dead.
That part is, it's such a vivid, like, image in my head. Because it's like, yeah, I've totally... that's, like, such a smart, like, real line. Like, I feel like that's something that happened to him. Yeah. And he's like, shit, I'm writing this down. Like, you don't just make something like that up.
Oh, yeah. Also, yeah. It's so cute to think about, like, Connor Oberst just walking in the street and then... A kid points a tree branch, and he's like, enough is enough. If you walk away, I'll
he's
walk
like,
away.
Don't shoot me! And then Connor dies.
I can't believe that kid fucking killed Connor.
Oh my god.
Rest in peace.
Plot twist, it was an actual gun.
Whoa.
It's America. It's America in the Bush era. I mean, you never know.
Although, that's true. We made love on the living room floor with the noise in the
background.
Background
of
a televised
war. That's one of the... Thanks, dude.
What just happened?
It's a good bit. It's a bit.
I totally missed what just happened. It's like a bunch of noise. I'm like, what? What?
Don't worry about it.
You'll hear it
in post.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a major thing with this album is like even in songs that aren't overtly political, like having like lines that totally remind that lets you know when this album came out.
Yeah.
I was talking to Devlin about this earlier, but for me, this album is like a companion to American Idiot, like a folk version of American Idiot.
Wow.
I've always, in the way that it's like American Idiot talks about, like, well, basically you can listen to it and you know exactly when it comes out, even though it's supposed to be talking about like a universal, like, thing about like war in wartime, basically. And it's when I was in high school, I don't even remember what I wrote about, but I wrote like a paper comparing I'm Wide Awake, It's Morning to American Idiot. I probably bullshitted a lot of it, knowing that like the teacher hadn't heard either album, so it's like whatever. But like, those are like companion albums in my
head.
Get
with the program, teach.
Every time I listen to I'm Wide Awake, It's Morning, I think of American Idiot, and I don't even like that album at all anymore. Like, I haven't listened to it in years, but like, those albums are so connected in my brain for some reason. It's lines like the with the noise in the background of a televised war. That's just, I don't know. It's a similar mindset, I guess.
They're very much time capsules of like that period where the Iraq and Afghanistan war had just started, and like,
yeah, yeah, it's absolutely a time capsule. Let's
this one aged way better, I think.
Oh, without a doubt, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine going back and listening to the actual song American Idiot and not smirking or like kind of chuckling to myself.
Yeah.
American Idiot.
All those like music videos that came out for that record were so something. They were something.
They were something. Jesus Suburbia is a perfect song. I will still stand by that.
I kind of remember liking it, but I don't know if I would now.
I did a drum cover of it.
Did you?
Back in the day.
Nice.
Yeah, when I was in the grade 9.
I remember listening to Jesus of Suburbia and my dad walking by in the hallway behind my room, and him just being like, be careful what you're listening to, and then walking away.
Why? Why?
I don't know. I don't know.
American Idiot's the devil's music. That's the devil's music. You can't let innocent children listen to American Idiot.
I think it's because he's talking about politics.
Wait.
That's funny. That's really funny.
Like, it's just one of those visceral memories where it's like that one-off where I'm like not even paying attention. He's like, careful what you're listening to. And just walks away. I'm like, what?
Okay, boomer.
That's a major boomer move.
Yeah.
But would you call a Gen Xer? Because my parents are Gen Xers.
I don't know. Man.
Boomers.
Zoomers.
Just call them.
Everyone's boomer. I got called a boomer, and I was like, what? I'm not. Stop making this not a political fuck you to boomers for, like, basically destroying the world.
I feel that.
Keep it political, guys.
I get called a boomer for not knowing how to use, like, my, like, technology and, like, my graphics cards and stuff, and I'm like, I'm 21. I'm 21.
Guys.
I don't know how to do that shit, and I'm 27.
Shit, yeah, well, apparently we're boomers.
The first time someone called me a boomer, I literally responded like, you don't mean that.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Come on, man.
You're nothing.
Come on. You're nothing. I'm done with you.
You don't know what I've been through.
You don't know my story. You don't.
I've waged this war for 25 years.
Oh.
And you called me one of them.
Whoa, 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 wait. I just realized something.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm randomly reading the lyrics right now to Landlocked Blues, and I just realized, and Laura's asleep in my bed. It just clicked in my head. Laura Laurent is like on the album before this, Lifted. And like, I don't know.
Oh.
My brain's just like, oh, is it the same person? Because Laura Laurent is like about like a failed relationship as well, where Connor is like talking about how he's like, sorry, I sucked at being a boyfriend. And it's like,
ooh.
Crossover?
And
ooh.
If you drop
Bright Eyes Extended Universe?
Hold on. But if you drop RA, which is Ra, like the sun god, off of Laura, it becomes Lua. Or when you switch him. Never mind, I'm just really stretching there.
Your brain's so big.
I feel like Charlie from It's Always Sunny. Like every episode, I'm trying to like.
Clara, there's no Clara here.
Oh my god, what a show! What an actor!
Can I just say, to bring back an old joke for a second, this album feels like it would play in Days of Our Lives.
I mean, as somebody who spent a lot of hours watching that show because of my mom, no. I don't see it better. But I respect it. I respect it.
What if you replaced the intro song with Landlocked Blues?
I think I would be inclined to watch the Days of Our Lives. Like, Sands Through the Hourglass.
So are the Days of Our Lives.
So are the Days of Our Lives.
Yeah.
We are really not talking about music.
We're not.
I have a really bad habit of just, like, getting people to tangentially go about some bullshit.
Oh, I'm really easily led into that.
It's good content.
All right, so somebody say something about Landlocked Blues.
Sorry. Okay.
Whoa. I went to Genius to try and find, like, a notation or something to make fun of. And it just comes at me with the future is inescapable and cannot be avoided. I'm like, okay, off. Get out of here.
Thanks, Genius.
Don't galaxy brain me here.
Yikes. Attention to my door there.
So there was this landlord flying.
So there was this landlord trying to charge rent for April during a pandemic.
Oh, no.
And like...
Oh, no, no.
Oh, no.
I like that, like, it's gotten to the point now where it's like, no. Reel it back.
I don't know. I'm just trying to look through this... through these lyrics, and there's just everything that I... This is one of the songs that when I once again, Brie, thank you for picking this album. it's so good. And,
of course.
And it's really pretty, and, like, all of the songs are... I just couldn't get over the fact of, like, how well done these songs are, and this is one of the songs that I was like, I should learn this. Like, it made me... I'm, like, going to the grocery store trying to find bread, you know?
Trying,
and
Lord knows.
Listening to this, and it got me through the anxiety, like this of like shopping.
Yeah, it's such a comforting album. It really genuinely feels like, it's
a
there for
hug.
You. It's a warm, warm hug, and it's a warm hug in ways that are different from like back to talking about adult contemporary like dream pop music or something like that. Like it's a warm hug in a different way than like Slow Dive or something like that. It's like this feels like it's comforting you by like reassuring you and talking to you about like it's comforting you about the future and like to stay vigilant, stay strong in the present. It like is a hopeful album. That's like
it's like you just went through a really, really, really traumatic event, and your best friend shows up at your house and just silently gives you a hug.
Yeah.
Because they understand everything.
And then you crack a brewski.
I really felt that, Dublin.
I really felt that.
I felt that one a little bit, too. I teared up a little bit saying that.
Damn. Maybe it's less so on this song in particular, but there are, like, other songs on this album that are genuinely feel like they're the most empowering thing on the planet. Like Old Soul Song, it's like about like basically a revolution. it's about like the power of unity, and that's like a theme in this album that like really really sticks with me. And Poison Oak is like, that song is such a...
I was just looking
uplifter.
At the lyrics on that one. Yeah, that's my favorite song on this album, I think.
That's my favorite song, too. Yeah. Shout out to the trans rights lyrics.
Yeah, legit.
I remember when I read that, and I was like, oh, a word? Like, in Polaroids, you were dressed in women's clothes. Were you made ashamed? Why'd you lock them in the drawer? Well, I don't think I'd ever love you more. And I'm like, oh. A word?
Oh.
O'Connor? On God? Connor? And like Road to Joy is like obviously it's such a political song, and it's super it knows that it's talking about like a war that the people that us we can't win, but it still feels uplifting because he's telling you that He's telling you that, like, it's gonna get better, or at least that you're alive now, so keep pushing. And that whole ending part where he's like screaming, and it's like the cacophony of noise at the end of all the instruments just going insane. That's the most like life-affirming thing I've ever heard in like any song ever, to me.
Oh yeah. Also, really strong finish for an album. Like one of my favorite last lines of any record you'll ever hear. The city cemetery's humming. I'm wide awake. It's morning.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Props, Connor. Nice work.
Hey, good work, buddy.
Good job.
Good job on this one, Connor.
You made some good old songs on it.
Yeah, I made some good music there, bud.
Good music. A there, bud.
Also, to like go one last thing on like it being an uplifting album, this song is like a play on words and like a tribute to the song Ode to Joy.
Yes.
So like, and there's something there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Another speaking about themes on the album, like I was talking about like rising or facing injustice. Just in all forms, or like just facing hardship and struggle, and it's truly about facing it, like looking at it straight in the eyes, in the being above it. It's I love this album so much. It just feels so good. And the Road to Joy, even in the title, it says in the title, like it's a play off of Ode to Joy, and in the title, Road to Joy, it's like. Connor, he knows that we're not there yet. He knows we're not vibing. He knows we're not there yet, but it truly feels like
one day we're gonna vibe.
One day we're gonna feel good. Just keep pushing. And that's like some biggest like thing for this album for me. Just keep freaking going, buddy.
Keep on keeping on, Connor Oberst.
Keep on keeping on, buddy.
Keep on trucking, Connor.
Maybe that's why this album has aged so well and is still just as relevant today politically and like everything else. It's just because it was looking to the future, and it's still looking to the future for everyone that hears it.
Yeah, unlike that's the true. War on Errorism by NoFX.
You know,
another Bush era protest album.
I listen to like NoFX, and I still. Like I do with American Idiot, I link all these albums together, even though they're completely different in quality and lasting power and sound.
Yes.
Like, everything about them is different except when they were made, yet NoFX, Green Day, Blink-182, in my mind, are all, like, one album creation.
The self-titled Blink-182?
Self-titled Blink-182. That's where they got dark. You know, because their first song, they talk about sex.
Yeah, and then Robert Smith was on one of those songs, actually.
Sorry?
Robert Smith was on one of the songs.
Yeah, he was on All of This, which is not a good song.
I was going to assume I Miss You, to be honest. Oh,
no, that was just very much influenced.
Miss you.
Goong, goong.
Did you hear about how Phil Elverum was on a podcast? Phil from Mount Erie, he was on a podcast about Blink-182, and they were discussing I Miss You.
Yes.
And then somebody said...
I love that podcast that we're talking about.
It's
right
so
now.
Good. And somebody, they were talking about how they're like, Phil, you know that like people think of like I Miss You, and it would be in the same like sadness playlist as like Your Own Music. And then he said, that is the worst thing I have ever heard.
Oh, wow.
One of my favorite quotes ever.
You so should funny link, to me. Link
I mean,
me
to
with
be
that
fair,
episode.
It is a Tom song, and Tom songs usually aren't the best.
Well,
I take that back. That was mean. I'm sorry.
It started off with Mark, though. Yeah. It was Tom.
Let's be real. The man made the government acknowledge that UFOs are real. We owe him so much.
True.
He did it.
Remember in Hillary Clinton's leaked emails where there was like actual Tom DeLonge like emails?
What?
In the leaked emails, if you look up Tom DeLonge, there was like a back and forth where he was talking about UFOs with like somebody in Hillary Clinton's server, which is so funny
to
me.
Do you think Tom's gonna run for president one day?
He fucking better.
Should.
He'd be really better.
Might as well.
I'd vote for Tom.
I would too. Anyway, that's enough riffing on another podcast.
Fair.
Final thoughts.
I'll go first, I guess. I'm Wide Awake This Morning is probably one of my very favorite albums of all time. It's probably my most listened to album of all time. It's been like there for me for countless terrible times in my life, and same with everything that Connor has done, and he's probably my favorite musician ever. And I love everything about him, and I love this album to death. So thank you, Connor. Yahoo.
Damn.
Yahoo.
I think this album is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It's just perfect. There's nothing bad about it.
True.
It's a nice warm cup of tea.
In the morning.
What are your final thoughts,
man? It always reminds me of my good friend Jordan Isaac. Shout out if you're listening out there in listener world. It's really lovely, and it's really has some really touching moments, some really heartbreaking things. It makes you feel things, guys. It makes you feel things.
It makes you feel things.
And I like feeling things. Sometimes.
Yes.
Sometimes I do. What?
Feelings are good.
Could you say that you're feeling this?
I want to take off your clothes. I'm feeling it.
Feeling this.
I guess. I wish I could. Oh man, I blanked on the lyrics. That I was gonna say the first line of that Blink-182 song, but then my brain just went.
My brain's like, it. You haven't listened to this in a decade. Don't think about it.
Crumpled in on itself.
That information's classified. Please come back later.
Information.
That's right now.
All right, so
Matt, you're all about the impersonations today. That's really good.
Yeah, you've got some good ones going on.
Thank you. I don't know why.
I like heard you like lean back and be like, yeah, it's all right.
I tried to like really get him. Like, how do I accept like a compliment without coming across like an hashtag Leo problems. fuck. How do I take compliments without getting overblown with myself?
All right, I think that's
enough. We'll cut that out, though.
Yeah.
We'll fix that okay. part and post.
All right, I'll cut that out. Post. Yeah. So that's it. I'm Devlin Galloway. You can follow me at Devlin Galloway on Twitter and Instagram. You can follow my record label, Placeholder Records, at Placeholder Rec on Twitter and at Placeholder Records on Instagram. And you can follow us at Music Is Good Pod on Instagram and Twitter. Yes, that was all.
That was
big
very good.
Bunch
nice
of stuff.
Work, Devlin.
Thank you.
Nice. You can follow me at All By HMSF, which is pronounced himself. I got music up and stuff. If you like it, I don't have. I'm working on some material. Got a couple things on the go, but if you want to get ahead of the game, you can follow me or not. I don't really mind.
That was good.
Thanks.
That was good.
It's on Instagram, by the way. Okay.
I'm Bree Anna Rose. You can follow me on Twitter at @girlpecker. And you can follow me on Instagram under @girlpetter. And I'm in the band Pale North, which you can find on Twitter under @PaleNorthBand. And I think on Instagram as @PaleNorthBand. I'm gonna look. Yeah, Pale North Band. There you go. That's it, baby.
That's it.
Thanks
baby.
For having me.
They just released a record on my label.
We did.
It's very good. It's very
we released good. An album. Thank you. Oh my god. Oh, it's good. Thanks.
It's very good.
Nice work, everybody.
Thank potentially you. Future episode worthy.
Oh my god. That'd be,
I feel like that'd be really weird to
that'd
do
be absurd.
Know.
That'd be so weird.
But it could be cool. It could
come back on the podcast and discuss your own music in depth.
I would love to. I would be like, hey, I hit things, I drum, I don't know anything. I'm so bad. I drum.
I feel like that's like an anxiety attack for me if someone asks me to do that.
To like talk about your own music.
Yeah,
I feel that. I'd be flattered, but it would also be kind of like, oh shit, here we go.
Yeah. I'd be like, I don't want to talk about this shit.
It's like,
I just do the thing.
Anyway, yeah. So, yeah, we got an album on Placeholder Records, released on cassette. You can order it, whatever. We're trying to make a new one, but we are in quarantine, so we're not making a new one for a while. So that's fun. Anyway, thank you.
Yeah. All right. That's
stay
it.
Safe.
Bye.
Stay safe out there, everybody.
Yeah, stay
yes,
safe.
Yes, please stay safe. Stay home. Take care of your community and your
and don't let the world get you down.
Yes. Bye.
Must talk in every telephone, get eaten off the web. Must rip out all the epilogues in the books that we have.